Pray, Lord, bless you.
Thank you, Brother James. Good to be with y'all again, and appreciate the prayer and ask y'all to continue to pray. Had a passage or subject on my mind last, couple of days. Every time of this year in spring, I kind of get to thinking on stuff like this. I have the privilege of, one, my job dealing with seeds, and also out here on the ranch and stuff, and to see how things come alive in the spring. And was thinking on a passage of scripture and looked into it the last couple of days, and pray the Lord bless this effort. What I'm thinking on is in James chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." But it's in that seventh verse there where he says to be patient. "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." Me and Brother James, Brother Luke, Brother Joe Myers, and Brother Jerry Anstey, we kind of have a Marco group, and we've been in John 15 discussing, studying a little bit about the husband. And how whenever we have it here, it says the husbandman. I tell you, the Lord is the greatest farmer that there ever was. And he's never lost a crop, and he's not going to lose a crop. And here it says he's waiting. It tells us to be patient. "Therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, the husbandman waiteth." Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And I believe that precious fruit of the earth is you and I and all of the Lord's people. Then he says he's waiting for the early rain and the latter rain. And right now over here, we're kind of getting a little nervous. We missed the rain, and we're doing okay right now, but there's people talking about this might be like 2011, which is one of the worst droughts we've seen in this area in a long time. And we really, being ranching and in agriculture, you really are concerned about the rain, and you get a little riled up when you watch the weatherman and he tells you you're going to have a beautiful weekend, no rain in sight. You know, we want the rain, and all of you people that eat need rain. So we like rain. But here he says he's waiting, and he's waiting till the early rain and the latter rain. And as I think on this, and I've been thinking on seeds, and the early rain, well, I kind of studied a little of that and looked into what they were talking about. It's referred to in the Old Testament several times in various prophets. And that the way I see it is the early rain was for to get the seed up, and the latter rain is for to produce the fruit, really. You want to germinate, and just looking into seed in general, it's a beautiful thing. You can even, there's three main parts of a seed, and I believe me and Brother James have talked about how many things in nature have three: an atom, a seed, it has a seed coating, a embryo, and the seed food source, and all this, and you can just look at all these things and see, pictures of the Trinity in them. But, it refers to in scripture as the seed, not as plural, but the seed as one, and that's Jesus Christ. And in the 12th chapter of John, one of my favorite verses, Jesus there tells them, referring to himself, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And I think on seeds And what they do, and just sitting here, and if I set a seed on this table, it'd sit here forever. We've got pastures out here. One thing we have to fight is mesquites. And we got to spray them every year because the seed's in the ground until something just right triggers it and they sprout. And we have been fighting those things. My granddaddy did. My dad did. We are now. And it doesn't take long for a pasture to be taken over. I got a field back here that, someone else inherited the land and they quit keeping it. And I just drive by it and just want to cry thinking about all the sweat I spent in that field spraying those mesquites. But that seed just sits there. But whenever there, a certain time, the certain thing happens, it sprouts. And what they bring, it's just a beautiful picture the Lord has given us in nature. But the Lord says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The greatest crop that ever was ever planted was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brought forth a bumper crop, if you will. And he came forth and sprung out of that ground. And I think, oh, what is that early rain? And I've gone back and forth and I don't, what I'm telling you is it's with an open hand. Maybe it's this. I've gone through several things, but I think about when the Lord was put in that grave and he came forth by the power of God, brought him out of that. Well, in Ephesians 2, it tells us that we are quickened together with Christ. And the only time that we can look and see when we were together or when he was quickened was in that grave. He didn't have to be born again, but he was quickened in that grave. And I believe that we were with him when that happened. Now, it says the Lord is waiting patiently. The husbandman waiteth patiently for the precious fruit. You know, grow weary of this world. Oh, even John finished the Bible. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Well, the crop's not ready yet. And you can go to, that's why we're still here, because the crop's not ready. And you can go to 2 Peter here in chapter 3. And he says, the scoffers will say, says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Let me skip down to verse 9. But Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's promised he's coming again. But is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I don't believe that's a voluntary repentance that we are commanded as children of God to do, as disciples to do. I believe this is a repentance, just like the effectual call, that we are going to be changed. Every child of God, sometime in their life, will be changed, and there will be a repentance where they will, all of a sudden, like Saul of Tarsus, it says, was breathing out threatenings and slaughters. But when the Lord appeared unto him on the road to Damascus, he says, who art thou, Lord? Something changed in him, changed his directions, changed his course. Yes, after that, we still have the battle. We still have the fight. We still have two natures. But there is a repentance that happens whenever a child of God is born again. But it says he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. You know, you hear a lot of times, why does the Lord let bad things? Why does the Lord let these things happen? Well, that's not scripture. It doesn't say the Lord lets things happen. It says he suffers them to happen. And here it says he is long suffering. He's not going to lose anyone. He's not going to lose any of that precious fruit. He's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting. I don't know when it's going to be. No man knoweth the hour thereof, nor the angels in heaven, but God knows. And it says here, by the word, they are willingly ignorant. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And it's that same word. Someday he's going to say, oh, I like to think of David and Mephibosheth. Whenever David said, is there any of the house of Saul that I might show kindness unto him? And they said, there's one Mephibosheth in the house of Ziba. And David says, go and fetch him. I love that verse. And someday the Lord is going to tell his son, go and fetch him. When the fruit's ready, when the crop is ready, after the early and the latter rain, he's going to say, go and fetch him. My precious fruit is ready. Now over in Matthew chapter 13, there's a few parables of seeds, but I just want one of them. The one that goes with this. The kingdom in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I've never thought of heaven as the Lord's barn, but I believe we have scripture. That's the Lord's barn where he's going to take his fruit someday. He says, gather the wheat into my barn. Now we can see further on, he gives the explanation of this. He says this, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Further on down it says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all they things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's patiently waiting for his precious fruit. Our Lord Jesus, it says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die and abideth alone. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Someday that much fruit, he's going to come and get it all, and he's going to gather it into his barn. Now, I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I just, like I said, in this time of the year, it's such a beautiful thing to see. I mean, we've got all the dormant grass, and it's been brown around here. We don't have the pine trees like y'all do over there, so everything looks dead. But then comes the spring, and life revives, if you will. And just imagine the day, that morning, my Aunt Bev is here, and I remember her one time saying that, you know, We have thoughts of, like, where would you want to be on the last day? Well, she thought up here where we grew up going to church, just right there where our grandparents, our parents, and their parents and grandparents and family is buried. And many times we've gone to that cemetery sorrowing, but someday it's going to be a day of great victory, a day of great rejoicing when the Lord comes back to gather that precious fruit. And she said, I'd like to be right there maybe. Well, and that's beautiful, but you know, the Lord's got a people everywhere. There's sailors that have been buried at sea. There's people that have been burned and horrible things and horrible situations. But I tell you, the Lord knows. The Lord knows every particle of every precious fruit of His, and someday He's coming back to get it. So here in Ephesians 1, he says in verse 9, I'll start in, even though, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purchased in Him. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. I love that. I tried to preach on that a few weeks ago in the examples in the scriptures where it talked about when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. And here it says, in the dispensation, what is it? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. When's the fullness? The fullness is when I believe the crop is going to be full. The crop is going to be nigh and ready to harvest. And the husbandman, who it says he is waiting for that precious fruit, and he's coming back, and he's going to gather it. He's going to send forth the reapers, he says. Oh, what a day that will be. And so, as Jesus said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So back to the 5th chapter of James. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. It's easy to get discouraged in this world. It's easy to start comparing times. Those were the good old days. This is the worst it's ever been. I tell you, for the disciple, it is what it is, and may we look unto Jesus. And may we look. I think of that in Luke 21, where it talks about all the things, men's hearts failing themselves for very fear, nations rising against nation, rumors of war, and all these things. And it says, and when you see these things begin to come to pass, it says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. How bad is it? I don't care. Look up. Look up. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Look up. And be patient, therefore. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, because behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. It's going to be just in time when it needs to be, and when the crop is ready. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I love to think on these things. I love to, and how the Lord has given us these simple things that we can go out and see in nature. That's why I look at this, and I don't see how anyone can deny the existence of a Creator. Is when you walk outside, when you see that every plant out there came from a seed. Ah, but the seed, Christ Jesus, we are in His family, born into it. And He has put His seed in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And someday, He's coming back to take His precious fruit home, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I thank you for your time.